Dead Meat Pete is homemade with no production financing of any kind. If you're enjoying the show, please help us out by leaving a positive review and sharing it with others.
Pete and Axel sat at opposite ends of a jail cell at the Caddoville County Jail. Axel leaned against the bars, his back to Pete, deep in thought. Axel traced words on his bandaged palm, muttering the whole time. Pete was no longer dressed as a cop. He sat in his work coveralls, defeated.
This ain't my fault. I didn't say it was. You act like everything's my fault. And you get an attitude.
I was mad about the barn because I needed you to understand how serious this is. I like the museum plan. It didn't work out, that's all.
You said them kids wouldn't be there.
I said I didn't know when they'd get there. Just give me some peace, all right?
You tell me all these places you've been, you ain't never been locked up before.
Yeah, but I got help from the outside.
From who?
I had a partner. The guy that woke me up from my movie.
Damn, where the hell's he at now?
Gone.
Gone? Gone where?
Doesn't matter!
Well, shit, I guess not.
Look, even if we got out, Jax has the amulet. We're pretty much in the last chunk of this one.
What in the hell is a chunk? How much time do we have?
Do you always ask this many questions? In the timeline I saw, there was an ambush. Audrey dies, then the final battle. It's at the cemetery at about 2 in the morning.
That sounds like plenty of time.
But this isn't the timeline I saw. We've changed too much. I have no idea when they'll get to the cemetery now.
Tell you the truth, I think we can still beat them.
Kid, they have the amulet. It's over. The movie always supports the heroes.
But getting that amulet is only half of your deal, or your formula, or whatever. So what if we get to the monster before they do?
Even if we could, it'd probably just make it easier for Jax.
Well, shit, what if we just cut the damn thing's head off? Jax can't win if ain't no mouth to stick the amulet in.
That's not... Wade, if you made Jax want to give up the amulet, then you'd technically be assisting the hero. Maybe the movie would just let it happen.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I can do maybe.
But I don't know if cutting off the head messes it up. I mean, I don't know if the movie counts it as a win. That's not how the story's meant to go.
What are you gonna do, glue it back on?
Yeah, it's complicated. Definitely a little stupid, but yeah, I guess you got a plan.
So if we get out of here, we got a shot.
The longest possible shot imaginable. Maybe.
In the other room, a nameless lieutenant waited for the coffee maker to finish filling up. He was interrupted by...
Officer, help!
Ah!
The lieutenant ran back to the cell block and found Axel, laid out on the floor, face down.
My friend's having a heart attack. He needs his defib.
I'll get an ambulance.
Look, mister, this guy's gonna die. His defib is in his bag. It's in a wooden box. It's special.
Okay, hang tight.
He's going. This is gonna work.
It better.
In the next room over, the lieutenant dug through Axel's backpack, furiously searching for something called a defib. He lifted a rosary, but when he tried to throw it aside, it snagged on a glass tube, which fell to the floor and shattered.
Uh-oh.
The room was filled with a green light, blinding and intense.
What the
f-
Axel popped up from his fake heart attack, his face unable to hide his panic.
Oh, shit. Close your eyes!
What?
Close your eyes now!
Pete clamped his eyes shut. He thought for sure his plan was going to work, but now...
Lay on the ground!
He eased an eye open, just a tiny bit, and he peeked down the empty hall. Pete clamped his eyes shut again.
What is that?
Bess.
Bess?
Bess. B-E-S. Parasite demon. Goes in your eyes, possesses you, makes you bite off people's faces.
I do that? I'm not going to do that.
No, it's not you. It's... You're possessed. Your brain's dead.
Why is this happening?
I had one in a vial. Must have broke.
Why do you have that? What if you fell over and broke it?
It won't unlock the cell. It's not smart. If we keep our eyes closed, we're safe.
Then what?
Usually you just outrun these things.
I can't run with my eyes closed.
You can blink. If it's behind you, you're good. You might run into shit, but it's better than getting possessed.
We can't outrun it in here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Lieutenant burst into the room and reached into the cell, clawing wildly at Pete, unable to reach him.
I'm gonna die.
I need you to keep your eyes shut. Get over in the far corner, arms out in front, swinging so I can't grab you.
Are you serious?
When you get close to the bars, I'll open my eyes. The best will come from me. The cop will fall unconscious, then you get the keys. It'll try to eat you over there and possess me over here. We keep it going back and forth like tennis.
I can't do that. I don't even know how to play tennis.
Okay, when I say open, open your eyes. When I say close, keep them closed. Now go.
I don't think I can.
It's the only shot we have. Tell me when you're close. Go.
Pete crept to the front of the cell, his eyes shut, his hands up. He swatted as best he could, his face squished with fear. Soon he was in range of the lieutenant. Blood-soaked fists battered down on him.
Shit! Ow! Ow!
Axel opened his eyes to see Pete, dodging left and right. His eyes squeezed shut. The lieutenant's eyes glowed, reflecting green light on his blood-soaked clothes. The lieutenant looked at Axel. Shining green clouds poured from his eyes and formed a figure. The Bess floated forward. It pulled the last of itself out. The lieutenant fell against the bars, now an empty shell of a man.
Open!
Pete opened his eyes and shoved his hands out at the lieutenant to search for the keys. He found them just as...
Close!
The Bess covered Axel's face. It dissipated on his closed eyes, becoming a cloud. It reformed, searching for a host.
I got him in my hand, but I can't get him off!
The Bess returned to the lieutenant and found a home again in his eyes.
Watch out, kid!
The cop snapped back to life and thrashed at Pete. The keys broke free.
Hell yes!
Pete scurried away, clutching his prize.
Let's go for the gun.
I got the keys! You get the gun!
Fine. Open your eyes and make the Bess come out. Close them just before he gets to your face or you'll get possessed. It's lightning fast.
I'll go for the gun. Here.
Pete tossed the keys over to Axel. They bounced off his chest and hit the ground.
Damn it! Don't throw them!
Pete moved to the front of the cell again, doing his best to block the lieutenant's flailing arms. It was no use. The cop snared Pete's wrist, twisting and pulling.
No, no, no!
Axel opened his eyes. He bent down to grab the keys and shot back up.
Hey! Green Eyes! Come get me!
The lieutenant, or more accurately, Bess, wasn't interested in Axel this time. Pete squirmed, narrowly escaping the snapping teeth and blind, wild movements. Axel ran to the bars.
It's focused on eating you! You can open your eyes!
I don't want to be possessed!
Axel fumbled with the keys, reached around the bars, and slammed them into the latch. The bars popped open a little. The Bess saw this and let go of Pete, taking the bait. Pete opened his eyes.
Kick!
Axel and Pete kicked the bars. The lieutenant rocked backwards, falling.
Run!
Axel pushed Pete away, intending to finish the deadly standoff, allowing his partner to escape. But a terror struck Pete would have run away with or without the push. Pete's eyes rounded to saucers as he entered the hall and found it littered with corpses. A crowd of glistening red faces, liberated from flesh. He caught a glimpse of a female officer whose face had been partially removed. The jagged rips of flesh left a moronic smile on her face that gave Pete a flash of uncanny horror. Distracted, he failed to see the red lump in front of him. He tripped and went skidding on the tile floor. He turned to see what snared him. It was Axel's backpack. Back in the cell, Axel wrestled to keep the bars closed against the lieutenant. He lost the battle, and the lieutenant snapped the bars open.
No!
Axel retreated to the wall. The possessed lieutenant was there in an instant. Axel flipped around and tried to hide his face in the wall, but the lieutenant grabbed him by the hair and pulled him back. The possessed man spread his mouth wide and went in for a bite. Just as he sank his teeth into the side of Axel's face, a silver blur flashed through the side of the cell, painting the wall red on the way out. The lieutenant fell limp. The silver blur had gone straight through his skull, splattering through his ears. He fell backward. In the doorway, Pete stood, holding the wooden cube. The blood-soaked sphere hovered in front of him.
Sweet Jesus!
A mutilated corpse hung half out of the station entrance. Pete jumped it like a hurdle, hit the pavement, and turned right. Axel followed and ran in the opposite direction.
The truck's that way!
Pete nearly fell over, pivoting and taking off after Axel.
I thought this was your town! Just run! Shut up!
The Bess flew out of the station, rage in its eyes. The sphere zipped back and forth through the misty figure, dissipating it into clouds. It didn't slow the Bess down, but it did seem to pester it. The moon shone down on a row of track homes. The sidewalks were too crowded with trick-or-treaters for these kids to all live here, so this must be a neighborhood with full-sized candy bars. Pete's truck erupted into the festivities, blazing down the street. Parents shook their fists and pulled youngsters away. A little boy in a Smurf costume stuck out his tongue. A girl in a plastic Teddy Ruxpin get-up cheered. None of them noticed the demonic ghost figure high in the air chasing the truck, or the chrome sphere antagonizing it. One woman did look up, unfortunately for her. A mother of three, dressed in a bumblebee costume, pointed up at the Bess in terror. The Bess descended on her. Pete's truck skidded to a stop in the gravel parking lot of Cadden Auto Salvage. The building was cluttered with tools and cars on lifts. Sparks flew as Pete bent over a workbench and hammered sheets of metal. Axel Axel drove a forklift through the warehouse, knocking over tables and tool chests. Metal pieces were welded together. In the parking lot, Axel hitched a trailer to the pickup truck. In the warehouse, Pete smelted scraps of steel into a crude bastard sword. Axel drove the forklift up onto the trailer. Pete attached a harness on the sword. He clamped it to his arm and gave it a check. Axel secured a strap to the trailer. He looked up from his work to see Pete the Knight. He wore janky metal shapes and a welding helmet with the glass punched out.
Well, time to do some hero shit.
Dead Meat Pete, a Straw House Pictures production. Written and directed by Chris Gervais, with story contributions by Micah Troublefield and Chris Nolan. Starring Chris Gervais as Pete, Renee Alfonso as Axel, Rodney Stringfellow as the narrator, and Robert Filion as the lieutenant. Produced by Micah Troublefield and Anil Dokai. Music by Soft Neon. Find the soundtrack at softneonmusic.com. Recorded and edited by Chris Gervais. To learn more, visit deadmeatpete.com. We have no production financing of any kind. This show takes a lot of effort that is making my brain leak out of my ears, and anything that you can do to help us grow is the only solution to that. So please help us out by leaving a positive review and sharing Dead Meat Pete with others. It's the only way we're going to keep this show going. And I want to remind you that you can now put star ratings on Spotify. I don't know enough to say otherwise, but the most valuable thing that I think you can do probably is to leave a written review in Apple Podcasts. Leave any review. I want to hear what you think. But yeah, anything you can do to help out, greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening. See you out there in Dead Meat Pete land.